This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Sir Jeremy Shear, can you ponder me a query?
Yeah.
Do you love your brother?
I love my brother. Do you love your brother?
I do love my brother. How much do you love your brother?
I love my brother Chris Clem so much it hurts my heart.
I love my brother so much, I listen to his podcast, the C4 podcast, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Ooh, that's crackers good, mate. It's the best sports ball podcast on the whole Lousy Weather Media Network.
I heard he just gives himself the old leaping lanny the whole time.
Oh yeah, Chris Clem definitely has the reach for the old leaping lanny, mate.
Do you know who Chris Clem's favorite wrestler is?
Who's Chris Clem's favorite wrestler, mate?
The Undertaker, the Dead Man.
The Dead Man.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about.
That's Chris Clem.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
So let the hate flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, a little less heavy than last week, we're going to talk something that Jordan and I have had a little too much experience with. And
I'm still reeling from last week. Like, it was funny because we talked about like all of our shit and we put it out there into the world. I had a meltdown like 2 days later.
That's pretty much what happened to me.
But I was my own podcast triggered me, so nobody can yell that shit at us ever.
No, that's exactly what happened to me. So joining us in studio this week is the founder of the Eargasm Comedy Showcase, which they will have a show coming up November 30th at the Parma branch of the Cuyahoga County Public Library. Tickets are available online. Mr. Ryan Weiss.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome, sir.
It's good to have you on.
It's so awesome to be on. And it's great that I'm throwing a show at the library because everybody goes, bro, are you homeless?
Yeah. I love that they're charging for an event at the library. Like, that's great. Like, that's the ultimate fuck you.
You have no idea.
That's great.
I paid the bill yesterday and I was like, holy shit, $400 for the stage?
Yeah.
Are you buying it now?
Oh, man.
Am I making this month's payment?
So yeah, we'll get into all of that, but let's start off with the opening salvo here. Ryan, why do you hate producing shows?
Why don't I hate producing shows? I'm just tired of unprofessional people. So, yeah. You know, we've been doing comedy, what, how long?
12 years.
I've been doing it about 5. And I remember, I mean, I came up and like, you were like awesome. I came to the show where you sold your DVDs at, and I'm like, wow, man, you know, there's hope. Like, this guy's actually selling merch. Like, if I just keep going, it'll work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to the point where you're a producer and you're like, yeah, you know, I'll put a show together. It's going to be a huge show. We'll get a theater, you know, and comics will have my back. Comics mm-hmm. will be like, yeah, this dude's putting on a paid show. He's going to pay us. We'll help him out. Yeah, no, what actually happens is everyone goes, hey, fuck you. You're making money off of me.
Mm.
I think we can say fuck you.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. No, I agree with you. I technically booked like what, 2 or 3 shows?
Yeah.
Like actual shows. I ran an open mic for a while. Mm-hmm. And every time I booked a show, it's just all hell. And I used to book shows for like the punk rock community. I did that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Musicians are way more, as an unprofessional group of people, way more professional than any comic you're ever going to work with. There's no doubt about that. Like, they're a team and shit. And like, comedy, I've said this on this podcast a million fucking times. Comedy, you can have your little cliques and your friends and shit, but everybody's out for numero uno. And you have to be. I get that, but it's just the facts.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a fuck about you just because, like, the moment you say you're going to pay them, like, they figure they can take you for, like, take advantage of you.
They'll take you for everything you have, and they don't give a shit. It's like, dude, I created a show where I can pay 10 people. You guys think maybe you could sell some tickets? Nah, fuck that. We're not even going to share the post on Facebook. Or when we do share, we're going to spell shit wrong so you don't even get credit for it. Yeah.
Yeah. there is that. No, we've I found that to be the case with pretty much everything that I do that I book people for. You know, even prior to the Facebook days, just the old MySpace, when that was the only social media network, you know, just a nice share of a bulletin would be something. Or, you know, have some events.
I got a message today from someone. I'm not going to name names tonight as we talk shit about everyone in the Cleveland comedy scene. Cause
that's probably for the best considering recent events.
Yeah, but I literally got a
recent events for the past 6 months. I'm sorry. Sorry to clear that up. Go ahead.
We'll talk after the show. I don't know what happened to you, but I want to hear.
No, not me.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
But no, I got a message today from someone that's been booked, been on the flyer, been on the website. She's like, hey, so about the fair pay for the show? And I'm like, you don't know what you're getting paid? No, I didn't. Oh, you missed all the meetings that we had, literally every one. You're making $50 to do 10 minutes. Okay, cool. Could you share the page maybe?
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. Not going to happen.
Mm.
But like I said, I before we got on, I told you I was very angry before I came here. And yeah. Then, you know, it's kind of chilled a little bit.
That's all right.
Yeah. It's a difficult thing because there's a lot of misconceptions about the responsibilities of the promoter and the responsibility of the artist when it comes to how to get a show to click together. And I think most people assume that if they're getting a set amount of money to do something, then they don't have to worry about anything because the money's already there.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case, especially, you know, if you're getting – you're getting a guarantee, which is great. But, you know, if ticket sales are a part of that, you have to make some effort to try to sell tickets, which...
I mean, I told you, I don't know if I told you this, but when I was first looking to book the show, I reached out to everyone. I reached out to you and you were booked that day, I believe. But when we had the meeting, I'm like, listen, everybody's getting their base pay. You're all making, you know, X for doing the show. But, you know, this is the first time we're trying to sell a theater and I want to give a percentage out to the comics.
Right.
Like if we hit this target, you guys are going to get, the top person will get 5%, the second person will get 3%, and third place will get 1% of the shows. They don't care.
Right.
I'm like, I just offered you more money to do something you should already be fucking doing.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Dude. Art, I don't know, is artist the right word? Don't want to work. Like, that's why they do what they do. They don't, and like to make, like people who don't want to go that extra fucking mile, they're never going to go anywhere anyway.
That's, you get in this click situation, which we're not going to go into too much of that, but you get, like you get people telling me to my face that, well, you know what? We don't give a shit that you're paying. You know, we can make this much doing the club. And if you're not going to pay this much, we're not going to come work for you. And I'm like, number one, how the fuck can you talk to somebody that's offering you money like that? Like, I don't care if it's not enough to hire you. That's cool. Hey, thanks for the opportunity to keep it moving. But don't tell me I'm a piece of shit because I can't pay you $500 for one night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, which is, I mean, anybody local that's telling you they're going to make $500 in a night is full of shit.
Or probably high.
My thing with, I think, is wrong with the scene that I'd like to change, but it probably won't ever happen, is you got so many people that get to that level where they've got a room that's steady and they're making enough money to, you know, pay themselves and pay somebody else once in a while. And they think they're good. They think they're like Jesus. And I'm like, dude, does comedy pay your bills every month? Can you like make your house payment with comedy? Well, then you're not there yet. If it's not paying your house payment, then you should probably be open to doing new things. You know,
I mean, that's a fair point. But, you know, everybody has different goals when it comes to, it comes to what they want to accomplish with stand-up comedy. And some people are only in it to create or only in it as a hobby, and they're not going to be as serious at it as people that are looking to, like, have this be their only profession.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because, you know, there's a mixture of those kind of people. Like, you're going to have the part-timers and the hobbyists and the this is a springboard to something else mixed in with the people that really, really want to do this. And there's sometimes there isn't like a – like the one way to put this is I guess the hobbyists can be just as good as the people that are trying to do this professionally, and you want to give them the same opportunity, but they're not going to put in the work that you need. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, that is part of the cost of doing business is figure out who is going to actually do the work for you. Mm. And, you know, I've just found that when I'm producing shows, the best arrangement that I have is when I have a venue that's very excited to have just something there,
yeah,
on an off night, and the regulars are on board, because if you don't have the regulars at the venue on board, like, you're gonna be fucked.
Oh yeah.
And that's been a big problem in a lot of different places. And those shows don't last.
But what absolutely could you be talking about?
Oh, I have no idea, Jordan.
My old, we've talked about it before, but my old mic was at the Rowley Inn, which notorious fucking dive bar in Cleveland. And right across the street from the Christmas Story House.
Yeah, yeah, I know where that is, actually.
For tourists.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of the locals were down, some of them were not.
Yeah.
And sometimes punches were thrown, and sometimes people got shot.
Yeah, sometimes
people. I'm a poet.
Sometimes people did get shot.
You kind of got shot?
Yeah. Jesus. I had a car firebombed, a guy get shot. I've talked about it a million times on here. what the fuck else? Like a 350-pound fucking Puerto Rican ex-con knock out a fucking dude who was his friend on my behalf because the guy was talking shit to me.
Yeah.
And they were friends.
So he was, so at that very moment, you had a guy that wasn't into the show and a guy that really was into the show.
Well, the guy, the 350-pound Puerto Rican dude was a regular at the bar and he used to drink double shots of Crown. That's all he drank. And he got into an argument with this female comedian, Laura Partlow. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about cancer or her mom dying of cancer, something, somebody dying of cancer. And apparently the dude's mom died of cancer. So they were getting into it and it got taken outside. So I was trying to like get him away because like he didn't need to go back to prison for assaulting her. Mm-hmm. Like, and then his buddy starts talking shit to me because I'm trying to calm it down. After they kind of start calming down, the dude's still talking shit to me. And this dude just over my shoulder, boom, just knocks his buddy out cold. It was fucking great. That was the fun part of putting on shows.
You know, there's really not a good part of Cleveland, the more I think about it. There's nowhere that's not hood adjacent.
Well, yeah, it's all good block, bad block.
Oh, God.
Regardless of where you are. So don't be scared of the East Side venues. I mean, you know, there are some that are in some nice places.
Well, the cool thing about Cleveland comedy is there is like a, as I've seen it happen multiple times, there's like an unspoken thing between the comics that we all have each other's backs. So like I've seen people rush the stage and two or three comics pulled somebody off of somebody or that kind of shit, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I get scared to travel is because you don't know the comics from that stage. You don't know if shit gets rowdy, if they're going to have you. Yeah.
I've fallen under the Stone Cold Steve Austin treatment. I don't trust anybody. Fuck everybody. I'm done with all these fuckers.
Yeah.
And I don't care who knows it. I don't give a shit. I'm done.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah. And fucking because Ordano said so.
Yeah, there is. I'm not too worried about things getting rowdy, to be frank. You know, the worst thing that's happened to me is getting jumped outside of an open mic, which who cares? Like, I didn't get hurt. And I have Medicaid, so I don't care if I get hurt. Like, yeah, I get free drugs in the hospital for a while. Oh, no.
Medicaid is a hell of a thing. I love it.
The one excuse Jeremy gives himself to do drugs. Put me in the hospital. I need morphine.
Yeah. Yes. Put me in traction. I don't give a shit.
It's awesome when you go and you actually need the shit. Like, I felt like I love it. Like, they're like.
Is it, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 4 hours later, I had a paramedic come in the room because, you know, I have the gallstones. And I'm sitting there. I came in, vomited in front of the ER receptionist, visibly sweating and rocking in pain. An hour
was
in
this
the
from
ER.
A show you booked?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, probably. You know, they finally get you back in there at Metro after like an hour, and you get in the back room, and they just leave you. You're just in the room by yourself in pain. Finally, a paramedic comes through. I throw up in front of him too, and I'm still like sweating. And the dude's like, "You're in a lot of fucking pain, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, could you please not leave and go get me some drugs, please?" Like, I know I shouldn't say that because that's drug-seeking behavior.
Right.
But I'm seeking drugs right now. Yeah. Could you go get me some?
Yeah. I am audibly and visibly seeking drugs right now. And I know it looks like I do all the time, too. But
He brought back Coumadin, and I didn't feel shit for a day.
I never even heard of that one.
Oh, it's like morphine, except not.
Okay.
It's, yeah, I've had that before. Well, yeah.
Here we are talking about opiates again. It's the Opiates and Wrestling podcast.
Yeah. Heroin, hearse, never mind. at any rate, yeah, I had gallstones too when I was in my early 20s because I lost 90 pounds in 3 months.
Is it? I've lost 70 in, I think, six. That's probably what it was.
Yep.
It's probably
that's
what it was.
That's what causes gallstones, the vast majority of gallstones.
I know I've said this before, but I lost 70 in three because of OxyContin.
Oh, listen, I lost 20 the right way, and then finally, I plateaued at 240, so I went in and got back on my Adderall. I'm like, could you guys, listen, I'm having trouble focusing. Yeah. Mm.
What is it really, though, Ryan? I need to lose some weight.
He's like, you've had ADD your whole life. You've been dealing with it just fine. I'm like,
just shut up and give me this. Shut up and write the prescription, jockey.
I was like, listen, here's the thing. I have an office job now where I have to deal with customers for 12 hours a day, and I need medication. I can't be happy without medication. You understand?
Right.
Doesn't sound like drug-seeking behavior.
Not drug-seeking behavior at all.
Have you ever worked in life insurance?
No.
I'm
a telemarketer.
I got offered a position. I turned it down.
Oh God! Please don't say American Income Life.
No, it was not American Income Life. It was Bankers.
Okay,
Bankers Life and Casualty, which I've billed them before. Like I know they're legit, but it's just there was no way I was going to make house calls to Medicare patients with no car.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's the thing. We had a guy start off with a bike. And I was going to talk shit about the company, but I just plugged them by their real name, so I guess I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah,
probably for the best.
Probably the best there.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, people do need life insurance and need health insurance, so you have options. Explore them. That's all we'll say about it.
I'll tell you who's going to need life insurance.
Who?
A lot of people in Cleveland.
Oh, do you have a list, too?
Oh.
It's generally everybody.
No, I have a list.
I used to have a prove a point list, but it got too long. I couldn't. It actually moved to a spreadsheet, and then I'm like, listen, I'm leaving too much evidence now.
No, I have a list. It's has nothing to do with. It does have something to do with professionalism, but it's generally in how they treat their coworkers that I have the problem with, which. Considering what has been going on in the news lately, now's the time to come to Jesus, boys.
Mm. Yeah, no, you. I don't understand why there's so many people that are okay with visually pissing people off now. The rate of violence in this country, I don't get it. Like, you know, I would be afraid to fire someone at this point. Like, I wouldn't even want to do it. Like,
Yeah, well, there's that, and people need to fucking put their fucking dicks in their pants.
Yep.
I've had enough of it.
Yeah, I've had
enough of it.
I'm about done.
And I've been told that it's not my place to say anything, and it's not my place to say anything, but...
Isn't that like the biggest fuck you, though? They're like, you know...
Somebody's gonna...
Yeah, well, it's not really a fuck you. It's just when you're in a position where, you know, like, some wrong has been done, but it hasn't been done to you. It's not your place to come out and say, hey, I know this fucked up thing happened to this person. It's that person's responsibility to come out and say, hey, like this happened to me. And then you back them up.
I don't know if it's because I'm stoned and maybe have a little buzz, but that was very Shakespearean.
It was.
He was talking with his hands. And it was very beautiful, and the point he was making was valid.
Can we do it again? So I want to get on Facebook Live.
No Facebook Live.
I can't do Facebook Live.
You can if you want.
I do kind of want to. This is pretty cool.
I don't care.
There's a freaking star. Hold on, we're gonna do this.
I'm gonna get up and get a beer here in a minute.
Yeah, this is the Mike Calhoun Studios,
the Chatter Squadron Studios, which is really cool. Like as a Star Wars nerd, for me to be. In now, like, yeah. And that it's like a friend of mine does it. Like, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, the Lousy Weather Media Network's Mike Calhoun has moved on to do the Chatter Squadron, which will be available every week, and you can check that out. It's a Star Wars-based podcast, and he has really redecorated the studio here.
He's hashtag LWM click for life.
Yeah.
He's definitely.
It's for life.
For life.
So.
I don't even know how this thing works. It's hilarious. Like, it's like, all right, here we go. So, yeah we're live here at the – I mean, I'm looking for something embarrassing, honestly. I don't
see. Dude, look at Ryan just trying to get more Facebook friends.
Hey, what's up? Say hi.
Hello. I'm on Facebook Live for probably the first time ever.
Oh, my goodness. And say hi, Jeremy. How you doing, bud?
Hi. I can't believe I'm on Facebook Live, and I can't believe this part of the podcast is going to go out into the world.
I know. It's like a companion piece now, though. Yeah. Like, it's kind of nice. Like, we're broadening our canon.
Yes. It's kind of cool to be here in Darth Vader's apparently hotel. I don't know what's going on over there. It's pretty cool.
It is. It's kind of like a imperial utopia. Yeah. I like it.
Oh, rotate my. I can't hold my device that way.
Yeah, look at the fucking. I think I am gonna donate my X-wing to this studio, which is pretty cool.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on here.
If anybody has any Lego Star Wars stuff, definitely hit up Mike. He needs a lot more.
Always needs more stuff.
Always. Well, you always need more Star Wars stuff in general. It's just a basic rule of thumb.
All of my toys and stuff have been lost in great stuff purges over the years.
Did you say great stuff purges?
I've had many great stuff purges for various reasons.
Like, all right, now he's moved on from, like, Shakespeare to, like, fucking Faulkner.
Notice that literally I just had the camera on him and he did nothing. And then as soon as the camera was off.
I mean, can we be honest, Jeremy, are you TV ready?
Mm-mm. Not until I get my teeth done.
So, Jeremy, you're about one of the other dirty comics I know of it, like, is having a lot of success in the scene. And I'll tell you one other.
Are you
fun? That was some hate right there.
Oh no, that was me loving him.
But I'll tell you, when I have this fun little tic that I have, like when people tell me that I should change my logo and it's too dirty, like I just get like a little mad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, fuck you. It's my logo. I like it.
Mm-hmm. As long as you like it, man, and as long as you know it doesn't turn people off, then who gives a shit?
It's about to be on a billboard, like in tomorrow.
Okay.
So they said I couldn't get in news media, and then I literally just paid to get in news media to prove people wrong because that's who I am as a person.
Well, good. Is it just going to say eargasm and then
it's going to be plugging the show November 30th. I got Mike's picture up there, and you know, we actually are benefiting Rainbow Babies, and
Nice.
The beer sales are going to hurricane relief down south. So
nice.
All that's going to be on there too.
Yeah.
Cause I have a,
how are you doing beer sales at the library?
I literally went and got an F2 permit. It's friggin' amazing. Yeah.
Dude, why don't you just do what the fucking local wrestling show does? You sell tickets. And then people exchange the tickets for beer.
Because I have a lifelong fear of jail.
Yeah.
Dude, they do it at a church, at a school. I think it's fucking on. I mean,
it might be a different permit.
Listen, at least three of my immediate family have been incarcerated, and twice they didn't do shit wrong. I'm not going to get too much into it, but one time my brother got domestic charges filed for him. The woman, they used to be into bondage. Like, they would do all that fun shit. Like, we would come over the house and they would hit each other with pots and pans and shit.
Ooh.
So anyways, long story short, she offed herself and left a note that said that he didn't do it. And guess who still served out his sentence?
Wow.
So I learned very young that the police don't have to be right, and you can go to jail for no fucking reason, even if you're white.
Calhoun and I were just talking, like, on the way in here, that the legal system is not about justice. It's about getting the law right. Like, it's about centering everything around the law. It's not about justice. It's not about who's right and who's wrong.
I think you might want to bleep that out. I probably shouldn't have put my brother's business out like that, but it just came to me.
Yeah, we don't know which brother it is. Everything's fine.
Is it? Okay.
I fucking forgot what else I was going to say. It doesn't matter.
Well, get your shit together. So is this your first big ticketed show that you're promoting?
Is this your first big podcast you're on?
No. I've been on more radio and podcasts than I have in my whole 5 years this past month.
Yeah.
This is the biggest, like, we're trying to fill a theater for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Eargasm started off touring conventions and things like that. So been in front of hundreds of people before, just never tried to actually bring the crowd myself.
Right. So
best way to do it.
Yeah. So your draw is Eargasm itself and Ryan Weiss?
We got nine comics. Mm-hmm. I got Mike Ivey, John Bruton, Jasmine Carter, John Huff, Will Hopkins, Swami Soriano. I got a hoop dancer, which is going to be crazy. I don't even know what that is. Apparently, she's got like LED hula hoops, and she's going to do a light show at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
We got beer now. We got catering. And then we are going to have a crazy light show with the theater stuff. So that's the draw. I feel like it's a pretty good show.
Yeah. That sounds like
how much are tickets?
$10.
You're getting your money's worth for that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing bad I can say about any of those comics. So,
really,
comedically,
you respect their work.
I respect their work. Yeah, some more than others, but. In all seriousness, I've been telling Swami like consistently the last few times I saw him, it's like, holy shit, because I saw him start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you notice way better.
Yeah,
you notice like people's development, and like Swami's writing has gotten like sharp. So it's cool to see.
Oh, Will Hopkins. Oh my God, I forgot to plug Will.
Mm.
Will's like my go-to guy right now.
Yeah. Is he up in Cleveland now?
Yeah, he comes up for a couple shows a month, make him laugh, my shows, that kind of stuff. But he's from down here, actually. I think Youngstown, somewhere over here.
Yeah. It's a bit of a ways away. But that's where I saw Will, was when I went out to Youngstown.
You know who's a killer right now is fucking Tim Wolfe.
Oh, God.
Dude,
we're about to lose him.
Really? To where?
Chicago.
Well, he'll do fine. I've seen him a few times. I don't know him by any means. I've met him a couple times, but every time I've seen him do comedy, I'm like, that dude is fucking funny. Like, he is legitimately one of the best right now.
Yeah,
that dude is funny as fuck.
He's amazing.
He's gotten a lot better.
Get him for our show before he leaves.
I've been trying, but transportation issues.
Well, hopefully we can.
Yeah, we'll get work him. It out.
Yeah.
We'll work it out before you.
But we have Ryan here.
Tim
wants to.
This message is for Tim Wolf. Michael Ivey drives for Uber. Get your shit together and get out of here.
He still drives for Uber?
He's making good money, man.
Yeah. All right. I just remember he was not happy with it for a second. But
I think like at the beginning he was trying to figure it out and it was kind of struggling a bit. And then like he got it. And I mean, dude can make, you know, $600-$700 in a weekend. So he's okay.
Yeah, it's hard to be not okay with that kind of money.
Oh, yeah.
You should be an Uber driver, Jeremy.
No. No.
I feel like this podcast on the road would be an amazing thing. Yeah.
We've done live shows.
Yeah.
Our live shows are, I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick, but they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're a lot of fun.
We're doing another live show beginning of the year.
Yeah. My 30th birthday party at Now That's Class, more than welcome to come. There's going to be three bands playing, and we're going to start the show off with a live episode of our show, Guest TDB, which is a Michael Scott joke in case anybody.
I don't like The Office.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
Steve Carell's a
genius. I've already fucked myself a few times today because I am a goddamn lunatic.
I don't have to anymore.
Yeah. I totally shook Cher's hand on the way in right now.
Yeah. Like,
I need to go wash.
I scrubbed up.
Oh, God.
I did not just come on my hand and then just go about my day.
Willy-nilly. You have to say willy-nilly. Especially if you're talking about cum.
You used to have a joke about coming on something, right? I forget what the hell it was.
I've talked about coming on so many different things.
Dude, your soft spot joke that you told me was just...
What? Where I talk about like having dick go through the soft spot on the baby's head? Oh, yeah.
Can I just book you already? Like, can that just happen? Like, I don't think you understand. I feel like Eargasm and Jeremy Shear just go together like peanut butter and jelly. Like, you just have to be on my show.
I mean, as long as I'm available and the price is right, I will do it. The only my thing lately has been.
He fucking wants to kill everybody, so he has to stay away.
Well, there's that.
The next thing I want to do is a roast show. And I'm not going to say more than that, but I would love to have you help me destroy someone. I feel like that would be fucking fun.
Yeah, he was on my roast.
Oh, God.
That was great.
I mean, yeah, I'm the go-to guy to do that. Okay. So we'll talk.
Okay.
Cleveland's Jeffrey Ross. Anyway, as you were saying, you said lately when people have booked you.
Lately when people have been booking me, and this is more in just, you know, what I can get, is that if you want me to do a weekend, you got to pay me. Because I can leave the area and get paid. My asking price isn't too much. But, you know, Friday and Saturday, those are money days. Like, if you want me to hold my schedule for that, you got to pay me. It's just what it is.
Are you open with talking about pay?
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about that because a lot of comics are weird.
Look, I know why they're weird. It's because they think they devalue everything. But unfortunately, like, look, we're whether or not there are like three people in Cleveland right now that are actually like, you know, draws. And the rest of you are at the same level. And if you think otherwise, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Is anybody kidding themselves about that?
There's a lot, but I mean,
who? Like, I know who you're talking about, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, does anybody else think their value's as high as that?
Yeah. It's a thing. It's ego. It's a lot of ego because we're all performers and like
we're all attention whores. I think it is what it is.
I told Mike the other day, like, I like when I book a show to be the weakest link. Like, I know I'm never the funniest guy in the room, but I'll play off the funny people and make
it
work.
If I can, and this has happened at many shows that I've been booked on, I, for whatever reason, get booked right after the shitty person and have to bring the room back. And I've developed a knack for it, which is good. But it's like, I want money to do that. If I have to go after somebody that sucks, pay me.
Will hates following me, Will Hopkins. And he's like, why do you always make me follow you? Because I know you're going to make fun of me for sucking and it's going to work. Like, I know you're going to find the joke that I did that bombed and you're just going to tear it to pieces and it's going to work.
Yeah. So he can bring the room back.
Yeah.
And that's a good skill to have.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan.
So anyways, back to money. So it took me a long time to even figure out what like good pay was for people. And now I feel like – so I usually do 50. If you're doing 10, I'll do 50 right. bucks. And I feel like that's pretty reasonable because from what I've heard, you know, Hilarities does like 50 a night or something like that.
Hilarities doesn't do 50 a night. They don't pay that much. Improv pays 50 a night.
Okay.
Hilarities is – I don't know exactly how much they pay because I've never worked there. But I do know it's not enough.
It's not our clientele, though, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's not enough because you have to pay for parking and shit. And, you know, it's a pain.
Take the rapid.
Well, even so, I mean, it's $550.
$550. And I've heard things. We're not going to get into it, but that's what I've heard is...
That's 10% of the money you're going to make. I guess that's a way of looking at it. Like, 10% of my money is going to transportation, you know?
But you're going to have to pay transportation costs regardless of where you go. But it's just a pain in the ass.
Semantics!
Parking downtown sucks. And meanwhile, parking at the Improv is a lot easier. And then there's the Funny Stop, which I know a lot of people have turned down because they're, you know, you get half of what you get at the Improv for a show at the Funny Stop.
Well, but and then that makes sense,
their feature pay is pretty close to what you'd get for emceeing at the Improv. So a lot of people have turned it down, look, I don't care if you get mad at me for talking about pay. You can go fuck yourselves. Like I said, none of you are draws, so you should know this.
Yeah. I think the weirdest thing is it's when you're trying to find a feature or headliner, and I've got a lot of flack for this, but for me – there's a lot of funny guys, okay?
There are.
So when I'm looking to book a feature or a headliner for my show, the draw is your job. And a lot of comics hate that. And I'm like, I don't care. You're funny. We're all funny. There's a lot of funny fucking people. But if I'm going to pay you, you know, three times what I pay the usual person, your job is not just to be funny. Your job is to put asses in seats. And people are like, well, you're wrong. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Well, you know,
and I'm like, no, I'm not. I feel that way often. Not in this sense, but just in general.
All right. So I think the reason that people are telling you that you're wrong is because, you know, they can go, they've told you like, well, I can work at the club and get this much money, which it's whatever, like whoever told you that there's like,
and I'm like, yeah, but the club will hire you maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
And I'll hire you more than that. And they're like,
yeah, well, for feature work, yeah, twice, two, three times a year.
Yeah.
Headlining like twice a year. Polk gets more than that. But
Polk is on that other level that we were talking about.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys aren't on that level.
No, they're not. But, you know, for the most part, You know, when you go work at a club, you have very little promotional responsibility because, you know, they're papering. You know, if you can't sell tickets to, you know, fill that, they'll paper the room. But, you know, they're not going to give you the same amount of money if it doesn't do well.
Yeah, but at the same time, from what – listen, I'm a single parent, so for me getting to the club was never the goal because it takes so much work to get there. Mm-hmm. I figured I was doing it myself. But from what I've heard, like, to come back, to go to the club again, even then they're like, yeah, well, you know. Like, they work out door deals with people. Like, they want you to bring people at some level.
Yeah. Well, they do need you to bring people to the club a lot. I mean, that's the incentive for getting new people to work there is, okay, here's this person that's going to bring their friends to see them actually work at mm-hmm. a respectable establishment and open for cool people. And you notice on Facebook, you know, you see the people that are working the good shows at the club, you know, they will promote it. They'll, you know, especially at Hilarities, they'll see, like, here's the picture of the billboard with their name on it.
Yeah, and they'll be under the whoever they're featuring. And, yeah. Oh, my God, I'm opening for so – and half the time you don't even know who so-and-so is.
Well, most of the time I know who so-and-so is. But, you know, that's just –
So you guys are talking about things that are completely out of my realm because fuck comedy and fuck the comedy scene. But no, I just wanted to chime in there for a second.
I cut you off, though. I think we got off. So you're basically – why am I wrong, I guess, is the question.
So the reason that you're wrong is, at least in their viewpoint, is they can put their time and energy and getting these people to go see – this show that they're going to be opening up for somebody really good, or, you know, where they're good getting a 100% door deal, or that they're like, if it's involved with a certain group, you know, that show where they have a ridiculous amount of money being put into it, or they can put some of that energy to get those people to come out to where you're at. And so their thought process is, because their crowd isn't local to that area, they can, it's only a waste of time to promote it.
And they can only get them once or whatever. And I understand that, but at the same time, it's like, this is a big deal. This is a 400-seat theater, dude.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know. So, I think the other problem is, like, I'll take the criticism, but I'm still going to be like, you're wrong. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. you're wrong. Because, again, the club will pay you twice, and I'm trying to grow to a point where I can, you know, do this 10, 20 times a year.
Okay. In the 10, 20 times a year, though, how many times are you going to use the same person?
If you followed Eargasm at all on Facebook, it's pretty much the same crew almost every show.
Yeah, that's not going to last, buddy.
Probably not. I'll have to switch it up eventually. But still, you can do, like, we're going to travel. That's mm-hmm. what we're aiming towards. We want to get into more conventions, and that's more work on my end, but it's very doable. And I want to be able to take 5-6 people to, like, Comic-Con in New York, put on a show, then go to Chicago, put on a show there. And you can't always take the same 5, but you're going to have the same 10 to 20 you rotate with.
I mean, yeah, if you have, like, 10 people to rotate, and if you can get a local couple local people.
And if you got local people that you're rotating with, they're going to get booked more than twice a year.
No, I get what you're trying to do. It's a good idea. It's just going to take a lot of hard work and heartache on your part.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just it's the facts. Like, it's going to be like, you're going to sweat a lot of shit because, like we said, comics are fucking unreliable.
Oh, yeah.
Is it unreliable or irreliable? It's unreliable.
It's unreliable. Okay, but this is not a new idea, unfortunately.
No, and it's failed multiple times because of the shit that I'm running into.
No, but if the people you have are funny, I mean, dude, I think I'm one of the – I've subscribed to that. Hard work is all it fucking takes. I mean, it just depends. You're going to find those people that you fucking click with. You know, mm-hmm. like the ones that are like, okay, these are the people I can rely on. They're going to rely on you because you're paying them. You know, not saying that you like hold that over them. It's just like, it's going to work cyclically.
I try not to, but that it comes down to that. Like every time, like, well, why should I do this? I'm like, because I'm fucking paying you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is part of the work that is expected. Like, you know, there have been times where I've flat out, like, somebody has told me, this is what I expect of you to do this show. And I've said, forget it. And this is what it was. Somebody booked me for an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
An open mic.
Mm-hmm.
No pay.
Yeah.
And said, I need you to invite 500 of your friends.
Yeah, no.
On Facebook. I said, forget it. And, well,
for an open mic.
Yes. And then, you know, I talked to some other people that went to the show. And it was Empire night, that show on Fox. So the show didn't even start for another 3 hours after it was supposed to. Gotcha. Because of Empire night. And this is somebody that expected me to invite
500 people in the show. Wait, yeah.
Yeah. Which, no, not doing that. All right. I got a.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
If you can.
Yeah, no, I think I can keep it going. Shear has to go run out. We're recording two episodes this evening.
Oh, alrighty, right.
So anyway, we were talking about promoting shows. So what are the, what's the top problem you run into?
Asses in seats.
Okay. So, I mean, I've seen your stuff plenty of times. Like, what? Pretty much what you're saying is it comes down to comedians not helping you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I try to see both sides of it, but when you're running the shit, you can't. You're like, you hear it, but you got to be like, you're wrong. I love you. You're wrong. Yeah. You got it. This is the way it is when you work for me.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, who the fuck are you to be telling us this? And I'm like, I'm the guy that's signing the check.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I get that. I mean, like I said earlier, like that's the thing is like with music, it's not like that. Like, I had a lot of friends from out of town bands and shit and, you know, would book them and I would book three locals and I was friends with, you know, six really fucking good local bands that would bring people out. And it was a general understanding that like the touring band got the door. Like it's just, it is what it is. You play the shows to get exposed. Like, okay, so three different bands are playing.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is crossover fans of those bands. So you're going to get different people seeing you every time. And you know, if it all works, you know, like that's, if comedians realize that if we all just work together, more people are going to want to come see us. Like
the problem is you got seven or eight active bookers or promoters in Cleveland right now putting on shows and they don't work with each other.
Yeah.
They just don't do it.
Oh, no. I mean, we had a whole episode with John Bruton about segregation in Cleveland comedy. And as far as I can tell, just because I've completely, like, I'm not saying completely walked away. Like, I'm still friends with people and stuff, but I don't want to fucking work that side of things anymore. I'm like, I kind of have come to that point where I'm like done with it. I mean, like I'll go to the shows and I'll support, but I'm done ever trying to be part of it because it comes with too much fucking headache and I don't need more stress in my life. I got other shit to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from what I can tell, you know, we did that episode with him. It doesn't look like things have changed
there
like at all. If anything, they might be worse.
Yeah.
Like, so I have no interest in like.
And then when you're the crazy guy named Ryan that's trying to change it, you get phone calls where people are angry at you.
Well,
I'm like, well, fuck, dude. Like, my mission statement.
What is somebody angry at you for?
My mission statement. We had a meeting when we first launched this, and I said, listen, guys, we're all here today. You know, we're at a diner, I bought y'all food. This is what we're trying to grow Eargasm into. I want to get to the point where we can tour year-round, not just three or four times a year. Like, I want to go year-round, put people in a car and go. I want to be able to create more gigs within this city to get people paid.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that to do that, I need the help of the community, and that's why you guys are all here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that
you're pretty much, I mean, you're essentially not just hiring them for, you need to explain to them, I'm not hiring you for 10 minutes of stage time.
No,
I'm hiring you to fucking help me out so I can help you out and not pay you just $50 for your 10 minutes.
Yeah. And then you tell them that and they're like, yeah, well, whatever. And
then don't fucking hire them. You know what I mean? There's
but
no
what
point.
Do you do when it's the whole scene? Yeah. What do you do when it's like literally everyone and like there's like five of us that get it?
Put a different product in front of it. Start selling OxyClean or something. I don't fucking know,
man.
No, I get it, though. It's frustrating because it's just like if we would work together, it would be beneficial for everybody and put your dicks away.
And I had one guy literally like, he's like, well, you know, people know that when you're the booker, you're making the money. And I'll put this live on
you. You're doing a lot of fucking work.
I'm doing a lot of fucking work. And I will say out of the last shows that 90% of shows that I've run, I don't make enough.
Yeah.
At all. Like
if you divide your comics, time and
my comic, not even divide the time. Yeah. Just like, I mean, just like, let's just look at it, a paid for performance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my comics make more than I do.
Yeah.
And I'm the one putting the money, putting the work into it. And I'm like, I'm not making anything, man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I get it though. I mean, cause like, I mean, I don't even know what episode this is. We're in the '50s somewhere, you know, whatever. Jesus. Coming up on 60, I'm pretty sure. Whatever. When we have people on, and I don't know if any of them still listen to the show, a lot of people, you know what I mean? Like I don't expect everybody to fucking listen to it that's on it, you know?
Yeah.
But like, when people don't share it, like, I'm like, we gave you like the platform to fucking talk some more. And, you know, it was fun for, you know, it's mutually beneficial for everybody. It's a lot of fun to do and talk about what people fucking hate and shit. And, you know, we obviously go off the fucking rails and talk about other stuff. It's fun. But like, you can't just fucking hit the share button and type a half a paragraph about being
but
on
cat
the
videos, but cat videos for sure. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
It's the point now where like when I'm going through Facebook, I'm starting to get like visually mad at people that I'm not going to name. But like you go through it and it's like I've asked you to share a show that you're on and you're paid for like 100 times. And then you go on your news feed and they got every other fucking show on there. They got shit they're doing for free on there and they haven't shared your shit yet. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? And I'm the bad guy for saying it. Yeah. No, what is wrong with you? I don't get it.
No, I fully side with you on that. Like, it's ego, and people need to fucking grow up and like, I mean, dude, just some of the people is like, dude, I'm going to be 30 in a month and a half. Like, if I can realize, like, how easy it is to fix certain problems, at least the problems in the scene of, like, people working together and shit, if it's that easy to see and everybody else can't, I mean, I must be a fucking genius then. And everybody else must be fucking Neanderthals. Because if everybody worked together, it's mutually fucking beneficial. And I don't understand how people can't see that.
I created a group on Facebook for promoting and sharing things with the same mission statement. And I'll invite you guys to it later. I think Shears are on it. But literally, I have this active thing of like, I'm not going to plug my own shit in here. This group is for other people's shit.
Yeah.
And it goes in, it just died. And people won't even share their shit to a group that they know I'm going to plug them in. And I'm like, I don't understand what the fuck is
going on. No, I mean, like, dude, I know, like, because I mean,
I told Sheer when you guys were launching Sad Boys, I'm like, hey, I'm paying for a Facebook ad. Give me something to share so you guys can piggyback. And he did. Yeah. And I shared it.
Well, no, because, I mean, Sheer knows what it takes. Like, it's fucking, it's just not hard to see, but everybody is out. That's the thing about the comedy scene is everybody is out for themselves.
And then they're all mad that they're at the same level. And I'm like, well, because you can only go so far yourself. It's blatantly obvious.
Well, I mean, on top of that, like, it died down for a while, but, I mean, what would you say, every 2 to 3 years as an influx of new comics? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, it's cyclical. It's how the fucking whole thing's supposed to work. But it's just like when there's so many people and it's like, yeah, you could have 100 fucking, let's say there's 100 comics in Cleveland, Akron area. How many are hireable, like that you know are going to have their shit together?
Exactly.
15, maybe 20?
20, yeah. I would go higher and say, I mean, if
maybe 30, 30 but that's
or 40,
it.
30 or 40. When we're active and when we're pushing, there's a lot of us going, I would say there's 30 to 40 hireable. I always have more people that I want to book, but can't afford to pay everyone.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, how long are you going to keep doing it? Because like some, me and Sheer, I was actually going to bring this up when he was up here before and I forgot. Like, he said something about people listening to the show and it's like, we were saying something about locally, whatever. And it's just like, I think from our statistics, our local like support has like it seems like it's completely dropped off, and we're like other places like Michigan and shit. And I just think it's a lot of like people.
Well, it's a podcast. There's so many podcasts.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Everybody fucking does it, but it's like we're doing just fine. It's just like that we dropped local like a lot of local support, and it's just like, is that due to just like fucking ego and shit?
Might be ego, but see, for me, the reason I want to get into podcasting, I don't feel like podcasting is a way to go and get new people and grow your fan base. I feel like podcasting is a way to keep in touch with your existing fan base. You know what I'm saying?
I think to a certain degree that's true. I mean, like, I stopped doing, I mean, I did stand up like once in the last 365, well, I guess twice if you count the open mic I warmed up at.
Dude, why?
Why did I do it? I don't know.
No, I mean, why don't?
Don't ask me. But no, why? I just because there's people I like and people I respect, but I'm just, I hate all the drama. I can't be around that. I got enough shit going on in my life, and there's just constantly fucking people bitching about shit, and I just can't deal with it. So, like I said, I've done it twice in the last year or whatever, and it's just fucking it's just exhausting. Like, I don't know. And I understand, like, I was on a show with that John Wellington booked me on that Shear, like, helps run, and it was great. Like, I had a lot of fun doing that show because I like working with those people. But it's not like anybody's knocking down my door for me to come do shows, and I'm not going to go fucking do open mics because that's where all the drama happens.
Yeah, they're like, I get that. You're still running shows? You're still doing shows? We haven't seen you at the open mics. I'm like,
because I'm out doing
fucking. I don't want to go. I don't want to go to LVT. I don't want to do it. I'm sorry.
Well, there's.
Oh, welcome back, Fatty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome for the first mic project, Fatty. this is Jordan prepping for his own podcast. He'll be starting soon.
Just me bitching, pretty much, is exactly what happened.
I gathered that would be the case. So, yeah, but basically, you don't have to. You know, there are people that they work theaters, and that's all they do. Do you think they go to open mics to work out new material?
No.
You don't necessarily have to do open mics. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You're just going to develop at whatever pace that you end up developing at. There's more than one way to do comedy. There are people that you never heard of that make bank.
Oh yeah,
because they do corporate gigs.
Some of those cruise guys, man. The corporate or the yacht club people, or the guys that do benefit shows. Mm-hmm. You know, the more you talk to people, they're like, "Holy, you make money? Holy shit!"
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do comedy, and a lot of people are rooted into this is the way you have to do it. This is the way you get good. And that's not necessarily the case. And I think it's foolish to cast aside a different idea because you think, well, this is not how things get done. It could be how things get done.
I could be completely wrong on everything that I've said today, and I completely understand that. I really could.
Yeah, but you're not going to know. It's the same thing if, like, somebody tries to give you advice about how to do your material and how to deliver. You're not going to know until you do it yourself and you've seen the results for yourself.
Exactly.
Because this is, as Jordan has said, you're looking out for number one, who else is going to know number one but number one?
Exactly. Which is something else that's broken in the scene that I've tried to fix and got blowback for. I've been to other cities. We're the only place where people don't, like, actively try to help each other get better. It's very strange.
I don't know how true that is, but
yeah,
I mean, like, it seems to me like every scene everywhere is the fucking same. That's in my experience, though.
I mean, it's just competitive. It hasn't always been competitive. It's gotten more competitive over the last few years because there is an appearance of a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. There isn't because, mm-hmm. as I said, there are three people that draw.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Three.
That's it. Like, you're kidding yourself if you think you are one of those three. But, you know, it's because there's that that appearance of a hierarchy, they think this is the only way to do business, and they're wrong. There are many different ways to do business. And the fact of the matter is, I found more joy producing my own thing with people that I like to work with, because it is more of a team effort. And that's something that I had in the early days of producing shows. I had a graphic design girl. I had local people that were desperate for time, that were basically willing to go wherever I sent them.
Mm-hmm.
For a little bit of money. And then, like, I had thirsty people from Cleveland that saw that there is money, there was a crowd, we will come do your show, and you're going to give us more time than we would get in Cleveland? Perfect. It was more
That's how I started. I started by giving more time because I couldn't afford to give money. I think you came to a couple.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, I can't pay you, but I'll give you 10.
Yeah, which is, sometimes it's valuable. I'm at the point now where, that's not enough for me to get to
I come out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just what it is now. I mean, for me, if you want me to do more than 5 minutes, you got to pay me. But that's, it's just how I've chosen to go about things. Because I can go out and get a free five, if I want, and roll with a newer person and shoot the shit with them on the way. Mm. And that's been interesting just to see how I love the process. That's why I still go to open mics, because I love the process. I love seeing how other people get their shit together and, what they think is going to work and how they put it all together to do what they're doing, and then watching them develop. I love it. And that's not for everybody, but it's something that I've always enjoyed. So I'll continue to do open mics. But, I'm not going to go to an open mic and do 10 minutes. I'm just not.
So I got two questions for you, and then I'm assuming I got to go.
Yeah.
So the first one I have, I can't remember because my damn Adderall wore off. Where would you say I'm at with my growth? Because I still feel like one of the fun things I want to bring up as a booker is I've put all this work in. I've put all this money in. Mm-hmm. I've done everything that's needed for the show, and it's getting ready to be showtime. And I'm like, fuck, I got to go be funny now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't.
Ryan, this is not therapy. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, it kind of is.
I know.
I'll be frank. I haven't seen you in months.
Yep.
I saw you at Sachsenheim for a little bit, and I noticed that you were doing different material than the last time I saw you. But it was still very centered on your life and not like opinions. So it's like if you're gonna be the shit that happens to me comic,
I feel like that's kind of who I am, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's doable. It's what I've been doing for the longest. It's just the things you got to look at are, is this joke going to make me more likable? Because, you are creating a character by saying this shit happens to me. So with that character, are you going to become more likable? Because that's going to be able to get you to get away with more and more stuff.
Or are you going to become dislikable because you whip your dick out and jerk off in front of somebody?
Yeah.
Who the hell did that?
Louis C.K.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, he did, but, that's...
But more like, fuck him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, somebody should have... taken him aside as a baby comic and maybe jerked off in front of him a few times and maybe he'd learn.
Where's Chris Rock when you need him?
Yeah.
Louis! So Louis! Watch me check my dick! Louis, I'm gonna come in your face! You're gonna be able to say the N-word when I'm done with you, bitch! You're gonna write a movie called Pootie Tang!
All right, what was the other question?
He forgot the first one.
I did. I think it's kind of coming around to I am trying to get a podcast going myself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask us.
I want you guys to be on the first episode, actually. So the concept is basically what you're just talking about, driving with new comics, having fun in the car. All the fun shit happens on the way of the gig, in my opinion.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Well, not all. I mean, we had fun at the show in Kalamazoo, but on the way, we literally did 2.5 hours of your dick looks like jokes, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I think I only wrote one down. Oh, yeah, your dick looks like it's Braille for faggots.
So you can't steal this, but the idea for the podcast is going to be Tales from the Road. And
okay.
Basically, I've just wanted to get comics, 3 or 4, into a car, and as we go places, just record that shit and then edit it down later. Not while I drive.
No, I'm just saying it should be Tales from the Ripped. And the Crypt Keepers should be smoking a bowl. I'm just saying, it'd be cool.
Well, keep an eye out for that coming in the near future.
We already plugged our shows.
Yeah.
So we plugged our sponsors.
Yeah. So this episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is sponsored by Jess Falstick, who you can catch every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, 7 o'clock. By the time this episode comes out, you will have missed me. Because I'm on this Sunday, but there's a new lineup every week. It's open mic the first Sunday of every month. So you can find her at Epic Fall on the Twitter. This episode's also sponsored by Britt Fox. She's X Fox Rocks on Snapchat and Instagram. And Plight of the Stripper Herder. That's playthestripperherder.blogspot.com. It is the sordid tales of one man's journey within the strip club industry and the hilarity that ensues.
Anybody else find it like blatantly? I never realized it until now. We have two women sponsors and then one guy who worked at a strip club.
Yeah. And
I never put two and two together. It might be the edible kick. And
it's definitely got something to do with your fan base.
Yeah, definitely does. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. And you can find Ryan at the Eargasm Showcase November 30th. Tickets are on sale online. You can find Ryan Weiss on the Facebook for more information. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates producing shows as much as Ryan Weiss.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge paper.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick. Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle. No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's Jess Falstick.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.